The following is rated PG.
Each player is different, and each player is going to play their own way, and I have my own type of game that I kind of bring to the table, so I'm just going to go in there and be best prepared I can and get the ball to the playmakers and be a leader.
I think the ability to extend plays, you know, just to make things happen, you know, to maybe not be exactly like you draw them up, you know, I think a lot of fans here have seen a guy like, you know, Aaron Rodgers over the years. I mean, it's not always like it's drawn up.
You don't have a whole lot of tape on him, but, you know, he's probably more inexperienced. And so, but, you know, you try to fool the experienced guys too. At the end of the day, it's about what can you execute? You know, how much can you execute? It's not about how much you can figure out on blackboard. It's how much can your players execute.
Cheers, Bears fans! This is Bears on Tap, and you just heard new Bears starting quarterback Mitch Trubisky, head coach John Fox, and Minnesota Vikings head man Mike Zimmer. Trubisky sounded very confident in his Monday press conference. Fox shared one of the qualities his new QB will bring to the offense, and Zim talked about fooling the rookie, but stressed that it's all about execution. Welcome, I'm Aldo Gandia. This show is, of course, dedicated to learning more about the Bears' upcoming opponent, and we have got a great guest. My good friend BJ Rydell is the co-host of ATL, About the Labor. It's a Minnesota Vikings podcast. He will join us in a few minutes, but first, my opening thought. I am recording this early Friday morning, and I wish I could go to bed after this show and wake up like 5 minutes before game time on Monday night. Trubisky's debut is one of the most anticipated first games for a Chicago team athlete of this century, and that is not hyperbole. We have to go back to October 28th, 2008, when Derrick Rose, the first overall pick in the NBA draft, played his first game with the Chicago Bulls. That's the only debut I can think of that comes close to matching what we will see, hear, and feel Monday night, October 9th, 2017. And I can't help but have these fantasies about what Trubisky's passing numbers will be like. Yeah, he's facing a tough defense, but boy, oh boy. I mean, imagine if he threw for 300 yards, passed for 3 touchdowns, and had 0 turnovers. I know, that's too much to expect, but if he turned in a performance like Derrick Rose did in his debut, the Bulls guard had 11 points, 3 steals, 9 assists, and 7 rebounds in a 108-95 win over the Bucks. Well, I'd be happy with that. I'd take a similar performance like that anytime, especially the win. Okay, as promised, with me is BJ Rydell. He works over at VikingsTerritory.com, and he is the co-host of ATL, a Minnesota Vikings podcast. We'll talk more about that in a little while. But first, BJ, how you doing?
Oh, great, Aldo. How you doing?
I am doing well. Well, let's start right away with the quarterback position. What's the latest on Sam Bradford's injury, and can you do a comparison between these two quarterbacks, Bradford and Case Keenum?
For sure. You know, the thing with Mike Zimmer, as I'm sure you've come to realize, is that he doesn't like to talk about injuries. So he doesn't like to give updates on injuries. And honestly, he doesn't like talking to the media in general. So it's difficult to say where Sam Bradford is. As it stands today, he's questionable. It sounds like, you know, it's a possibility for him to play on Monday night, but I think the more likely scenario is that Case Keenum gets yet another start. The biggest difference between these two quarterbacks is accuracy. I think that Sam Bradford got a ton of heat last year for breaking the accuracy record while, you know, kind of dumping it down consistently throughout the year, but he actually is critically accurate downfield. He throws a beautiful out route. He's excellent, you know, in those tight windows on crossing routes, something that, you know, Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen have helped both him and Keenum with in terms of creating separation late at the stem. So, you know, the biggest difference is kind of athleticism and just overall potential. Sam Bradford thrives on natural ability, cerebral ability, and basically everything that, you know, a good quarterback has. He tends to he has most of those tangible and intangible skills. With Case Keenum on the flip side, he's very limited. His accuracy is not nearly on Sam Bradford's level, and you see Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen particularly making up for some of his ducks of throws per se. So it's just kind of a different level of talent, honestly, to be quite honest with you. I know it's a little cliche and a little obvious, but that's kind of the case. No pun intended.
Bears head coach John Fox was asked about having to prepare for two different quarterbacks. This is what he said.
Well, it does matter, but, they are a little bit different. One's more mobile than the other, but like I said, they both spin it. They both have experience, and they both had success, in the first four games.
Okay, what about this wide receiver duel of Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen? I'm looking at the stats, and they are like the most productive wide receiver duel in the NFL. Now, is that some sort of aberration due to the game conditions, like playing from behind or busting a few long plays, or is this duel really for real?
Well, I think it's for real, and I think it's something that it's sustainable to a degree. If you look at their targets and you look at their reception totals, they do break off the long ones on occasion, both Diggs and Thielen. But a lot of their catches are just, simple moving the chains throws, the 12 yard out, the quick slant over the middle, the comeback, something like that. So what is so special about these two receivers is that they're excellent technical runners, so they run fundamental routes. They break their stems crisp. It's really magic to watch if you watch them run routes alongside each other, because a lot of the time both Thielen and Diggs have been getting open this season, and whether it's Bradford or Keenum, basically gets to choose. It's a pick your poison scenario because they're drawing. One of them tends to draw a one-on-one matchup regardless of what defense you throw at them. So very dangerous receivers that thrive on their technical skills and being able to create separation at the stem of the route. To some degree, playing from behind does help, but if you kind of average out the fact that they're also playing with a backup quarterback, I think that, it's pretty impressive what they're doing regardless of how you look at it.
Now, this Vikings offensive line has for years been the Achilles heel of the offense.
Sure.
Now, how was that problem addressed during the offseason, and has it been has the line been meeting expectations?
Honestly, if you're a Vikings fan, I think this offensive line has exceeded expectations to an extreme. Honestly, we did on our most recent podcast about the labor. Drew and I broke down, gave kind of quarterly grades for each position. And I said that this unit has been a B so far this season, but relative to kind of what Vikings fans expect, it's been an A+. Riley Reiff has been outstanding. And so many people, primarily in Vikings Nation, owe him an apology, because I believe he has yet to allow a sack. I think it's 9 total pressures for him on the year. Mike Remmers on the opposite side, who has taken heat from Carolina, from Minnesota, basically anywhere Mike Remmers has been before, had trashed him before the year. And yeah, there has been some communication issues. You saw Kevin Zettel last week for Detroit beat Mike Remmers and Joe Berger on the right side just because of some sort of communication issue. But for the most part, he's been very good as well. And the interior, which we thought to be the strength coming into the year with this offensive line, Elflein has been kind of a bit of a roller coaster in his rookie season, something that you kind of expect. But he's had very shining moments as well, and stuff that you can project well into the future. Berger kind of looks like a guy that's on his way out. He's still very solid, very consistent, but he doesn't kind of give you that next level talent. There's no real potential with Berger. He was a guy that talked about retirement before this season. He's getting older. He's a steady player, but I think he's probably the one that will be replaced the soonest, simply because I don't think his heart is really in it anymore, and I think that after this year, it'll be it for him. And then finally, you got Nick Easton at the left guard position, who has been probably the worst of the group. He's a former sixth round pick. The Vikings traded Gerald Hodges, the linebacker, for in a pick to San Diego in order to get him. And he has been moved around from center to left guard, shuffled all over the place, and he's been largely ineffective, but he has had good moments, and it does help having both him and Berger alongside Elflein to make the line calls. So To give you the simple answer here, the offensive line has been much improved. I think Vikings fans have to be happy with what they're seeing. And the biggest thing here is we're not in the poll anymore. You know, when people say who has the worst offensive line in the NFL, the Vikings aren't part of that poll anymore. And that's probably the biggest thing I've seen.
Absolutely. Now, what about what's the state of the run game now that Dalvin Cook is out for the season with an Achilles injury?
The knee thing is getting very old in Minnesota. You know, the non-contact knee injury. We're getting pretty sick of it. And to be honest with you, it's kind of in flux at this point. I don't think there's a correct answer right now, because I don't think even Pat Shurmur and Mike Zimmer know how they're going to rotate. The two running backs they have right now in Latavius Murray and Jerick McKinnon, who actually went out with an ankle injury in the last game as well. So right now the Vikings are looking at running backs. I know Stephen Ridley was high on their priority list. There's a couple other guys as well. They also have Bronson Hill on their practice squad, who flashed some ability, not very, not exactly a high-level talent, but a guy that could give you some reps if needed. So I would look to see what the Vikings still do in free agency. They have some money available on their cap after parting ways with Alex Boone before the season, so they could do some damage in free agency if they see someone they like. But right now it looks like Latavius Murray is going to finally get his opportunity to be the featured back in Minnesota after coming over from Oakland this offseason. There is limits to his skill set. He's not nearly as agile as Dalvin Cook is. His lateral agility is not nearly even on the same playing field, to be honest with you. He's more Jordan Howard than Tariq Cohen, let's put it that way. So I have optimism for Latavius Murray. I think that he will probably get the majority share of the carries here, and he'll be, solid. But he's no Dalvin Cook, and that one was really a blow to the heart, because it looked like that kid had a great future in front of him, and now you have to wonder if he'll ever be the same again following an ACL tear.
How has the tight end position been producing for the Vikings?
Interesting question, because it hasn't been productive statistically. Because you look at Kyle Rudolph's numbers, for example. I believe he has 8 receptions so far this season with 1 touchdown, which was a beautiful throw by Case Keenum in the Tampa Bay game. But other than him, David Morgan has gotten very few targets. Blake Bell, who was acquired off waivers at the beginning of the season, he has been basically used as a blocker and kind of using heavy jumbo sets to pave lanes for Dalvin Cook. So he hasn't really shown up on the receiving list either. But you see all three of these players being productive in their own rights. A big thing for Kyle Rudolph on why he's probably not seeing, let's call it, the fantasy football production is because the two guys on the outside, Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, are getting open so much that you aren't getting to your third read or your safety blanket. He's been productive in situational. He's been a productive situational football. You saw him move the chains late a couple times last week against Detroit. Obviously, I just mentioned the touchdown against Tampa Bay. But the tight end position is not nearly as important to Pat Shurmur in the passing game as it is in the running game.
Okay. Let's talk defense now. This Vikings defense just has always impressed me from front to back. They look like the Justice League. They're full of superhero types. Now, how have they played through the first 4 games of the season?
Again, let's go back to fantasy football again. So from a fantasy football perspective, they're not looking too great, because they're not, they're not turning over the forcing turnovers, a ton of them at least. Everson Griffin, up until the Detroit game, was one of only 2 players on the team that had a sack. Shamar Stephen, the interior nose tackle, is the other one. So there isn't volume production, at least not until these last 2 games, where we've seen 3 interceptions against Tampa Bay and then, a lot of sacks of Matthew Stafford last week. But generally speaking, this has been a very consistent unit. This is a more sustainable defense than we saw the first 5 weeks last season. If you remember last season, one of the reasons why the Vikings got their name was because they were creating these ridiculous turnovers. They're scoring on touchdowns. They're just doing all kinds of stuff to win football games with their defense. The way the defense has played this year has been more consistent. They're consistently getting pressure from the outside. For example, Danielle Hunter only has 2 sacks, but he's been extremely effective as a pass rusher. Linville Joseph has been outstanding. This run defense actually looks vastly improved despite Amir Abdullah's performance last week. If you look at the Pittsburgh game, for example, the Vikings were crashing down on Le'Veon Bell, and there wasn't a whole lot he could do despite his versatile skill set. So I think the run defense has improved. Xavier Rhodes continues to make a case for being the best cornerback in the NFL. I think Trey Waynes is coming off of his best game this season, last week against Detroit. Terrence Newman seems to have lost a step, potentially. I mean, he is, you know, 94 years old. But Harrison Smith still looks elite. Anderson Dejo looks solid. He's probably on one of the better stretches of his career right now. Anthony Barr is as advertised. Looks like we're getting the 2015 Anthony Barr edition this year. Eric Kendricks has been kind of a roller coaster, a little bit up and down. 4 missed tackles last week, which was concerning, I guess, but not something I would expect to continue. So as a whole, I think this defense is as advertised. It's just not necessarily showing up the volume numbers, you know, in terms of turnovers and sacks, but I think those are coming because the pressure is definitely there to create those types of turnovers.
Sendejo is an excellent example of a player who is just develops a little bit more and more each year, and now he's just a very valuable, I think, safety for you guys in Minnesota. Now, regarding you were talking about fantasy points. If fantasy leagues gave out fantasy points for defenses converting on third down, stopping teams on third down, then the Vikings would get plenty of fantasy points because
because
they're holding their opponents down to about 25%, 11 out of 43 on third downs. How are they doing that?
You know, I'm going to use a cliche just right from the start. It's a lot about discipline, knowing where they got to be. Mike Zimmer's defense, you know, as people have talked about since his arrival in Minnesota, it's a very disciplined unit that's always seems to know where they need to be, always seems to know what the offense is trying to throw at them. And that kind of all works together to be a very cohesive unit front to back. You've got probably an elite caliber player at each level, at least in terms of potential, and Linval Joseph, Everson Griffin, and Neil Hunter on your line. Then you've got Anthony Barr and Eric Kendricks. You both show high upside. Anthony Barr probably being even higher given he's a former top 10 pick and has a ridiculous frame for his athleticism. And then on the back end, I mean, you've got basically one side of the field shut down with Harrison Smith and Xavier Rhodes. So it's very difficult to convert in third and long situations with the Vikings have been forcing due to their solid run defense. And then on top of that, they just work well situationally. They seem to kind of gear up for these big-time moments in football games. And with exception to a couple of very bad third-down conversions, I believe it was last week that the Vikings allowed a 3rd and 17 to be converted. They've been very effective, just straight up, you know, being aware of the surroundings, knowing where the first-down marker is, coming up and making the tackle, and just, you know, doing enough defensively to stop an offense, slow them down, and kind of confuse them and create inconsistent drives has been effective for the Vikings all season long.
Well, this next question is probably the toughest of my list of questions for you here, for you to answer. And if you give me a good answer, I will wrap it in a really nice package and send it over to Hallis Hall, to the offensive coaches. How does a Mike Zimmer defense defend against a quarterback who can roll out, move the pocket, and is extremely accurate with his throws, and an offense that possess a 1-2 punch like at running back like Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen?
Yeah, you weren't kidding about the level of difficulty on this question here. The short answer is there's no good way to do it, right? When you have a ton of weapons, a lot of what you want to do is just make kind of contain the greater of the weapons. So in my opinion, Tariq Cohen is a guy that is an explosive player. You can't let him get to the outside. So you got to set the edge well. You got to come up and run defense and be, you know, efficient tacklers. You're going to see a lot of one-on-one situations, I imagine, with both Anthony Barr and Eric Kendricks and Tariq Cohen coming out of the backfield. They need to wrap up. They need to make tackles right from the start. They can't give him. They can't allow him to, you know, give them the human joystick treatment, right? So that's the big thing, is just simply tackling efficiently. Now, in terms of mobile quarterbacks, that has always been a problem for Mike Zimmer's teams. You look at Robert Griffin torched the Vikings. Aaron Rodgers does it regularly. Quarterbacks that have mobility and have the ability to extend the play are kryptonite for a Mike Zimmer defense that plays man coverage, right? So if you're seeing most of the time, you're going to see the nickel set line up and see man-to-man across the board with basically, you know, Xavier Rhodes will allow a route to drop off to Harrison Smith in coverage, for example. And when you extend the play, you see what Trubisky was able to do during the preseason, just rolling out of the pocket and being able to make throws on the run. Not only are you extending that play clock, but you're forcing the coverage to, you know, you're basically dissolving the coverage by just simply creating more time in the pocket or outside the pocket for that matter. And since Trubisky is so critically accurate on the run, or at least he has been from what we've seen both in North Carolina and in during the preseason, that's just a very dangerous asset that it needs to be tamed. Or you just hope that, you know, he has a streak of, you know, inconsistency or whatever it is. But if you allow him to get out of the pocket and extend the play, you're in trouble no matter what defense you are. I don't care how good you are. Coverage doesn't last for 7 seconds. That's just not how it works in the NFL. So, you know, being disciplined, I think man coverage across the board against these kind of inferior receivers, in my opinion. And then I would probably run a little bit of zone over the middle to make sure that Zach Miller isn't doing what Zach Miller has done in the past to the Vikings. And you know, try to contain a lot of these weapons because a lot of them are lining up in the backfield. So if you can set the edge well and not allow them to get in space, that's probably the ultimate way to beat this Bears team, is simply because if you don't let them move their legs, there's not a whole lot they can do. And the Vikings have the athletes to do that.
This next question is dedicated to Lauren Cox, who's the only Chicago Bears podcaster who regularly talks about long snappers and special teamers and stuff.
I love it. I love it.
Really. Is there anything about this Viking special teams play that is standing out, whether it's a positive or negative, that we fans should be on the lookout for?
Okay, well, it'll stand out immediately to Bears fans because I think you guys became accustomed to Marcus Sherrills and Cordarrelle Patterson over the last couple of years.
Yes.
It's not as good of a special teams unit as you've seen in the past. In my opinion, Cordarrelle Patterson might be the best kick returner. Devin Hester fans, he's the best punt returner. I understand that. But Cordarrelle Patterson might be the best kick returner of all time. So when you lose him, the drop-off is going to be significant regardless. Jerick McKinnon has been – it seems like he doesn't always know what he's doing back there. He makes poor decisions on when to take the ball out, though he is very explosive, so you want to allow for him to make that decision. It's just hopefully you see more improvement as he gets more experience. So that has been kind of a knock. Kai Forbath missed his first career field goal from the outside in terms of, you know, from distance, a three-pointer, if you will. Last week, and so Vikings fans are freaking out about that because he's also missed a handful of extra points. So I would keep an eye on Kai Forbath and him being kind of inconsistent in the kicker role being it's starting to boil over in terms of frustration for both special teams coordinator Mike Prefer and Mike Zimmer, of course. So those two spots, and then I would say also keep an eye on the gunners. The Vikings have been extremely impressive covering punts. Jayron Kearse is new to that role. Cordarrelle Patterson, obviously, he leaves, but what a lot of people didn't realize is that he was also a gunner, so you had to replace that role as well. Jayron Kearse has been outstanding. You see Kentrell Brothers, who a linebacker from Mizzou, takes outstanding angles to the ball. I'm telling you, man, this guy really, if he had more athleticism, he would be an elite linebacker in the NFL, but it works on special teams for him. And then Trey Waynes on the outside is just, you know, he runs a 4-3, so I don't think there's a whole lot of explanation needed in terms of his positioning and his ability to tackle. So special teams have been, I would say, mediocre as a whole, but there are phases of Mike Prefer's units that look like the same units of the past.
Excellent work. And for all our listeners here, if you have a family member or a friend who is a Minnesota Vikings fan, the best holiday gift you can give them, you can give it to them now, is to let them know about the labor, the podcast that BJ Rydell and his partner Drew Mahold co-host. BJ, why don't you tell our followers about the labor, about the labor, about ATL, how's that, and where they can find it, and a little bit about the show.
Absolutely, sure. So 3 times a week, Drew and I, my co-host, we do a show called About the Labor. To kind of clue you in, since I understand that this is primarily not Vikings fans listening, About the Labor is a reference to a Mike Zimmer quote. Basically, on Hard Knocks one time many years ago, he said, don't tell me about the labor, just show me the baby. So that's where the name comes from. We try to go beyond the box score. That's kind of our MO. We like to do a lot of film review, thorough analysis of the Vikings and, you know, whatever opponents come their way. So, you know, Monday's generally a rapid reaction. Wednesday's shows will be a highly analytical or in-depth kind of some sort of analysis on what we've been seeing as of late. Then Friday show will be a preview for the game. And then we also do a pregame show an hour before Vikings game. So possibly that might work out for you guys this week. That'll be at 5 p.m. on Monday night. So that's basically what it's about. You can find it at VikingsTerritory.com, where I also do a ton of writing for them as well. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Basically, if you... You know, if you have a computer or you have a listening device, there's a way to find about the labor. So hopefully you guys checked it out. We think we have a pretty solid product right now, and we're proud of it. So appreciate it. Appreciate the time, Aldo.
You bet. And I got to tell you that Draft Dr. Phil pointed out to me that video segment that you guys do on YouTube, that pregame segment, and said, wow, we need to do something like this. Really, really nice work that you and Drew do on that. And I will make sure to put a link on our website so that people can follow you. Whether you're a Vikings fan, Bears fan, if you're a football fan, you should be taking a peek at what these guys are doing. It is excellent, excellent work. BJ, as always, I am a huge fan of yours, and I really appreciate your time. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Absolutely. The feeling is mutual, although I love coming on your show, love talking football with you, as always. So we'll catch you soon, and I'm sure I'll have some heat to throw you out on Monday night.
You probably will. All right, brother. Take care. One of the interesting things from Thursday's press conference with Mike Zimmer was that he was asked about the Chicago Bears rushing attack, and he volunteered some information about the Bears holding. That's right, their wide receivers and offensive linemen holding in previous games. And so this is something you should listen to.
You know, their offensive line does a really good job of getting guys out of where they're supposed to be. The receivers do a good job on the perimeter blocking, holding, grabbing. And the offensive line does the same thing. So we can't allow them to hold us and grab us the way that they've been doing in all these other ball games. Tackling us!
He actually said that the Bears' wide receivers and offensive linemen were tackling Vikings defenders. Mike Zimmer is a very, very shrewd football coach, much shrewder than the one we have here in Chicago. And what Zimmer is doing is he knows who's refereeing this game on Monday night. It's Jerome Boger, the NFL ref who has been very controversial over the years. One of the reasons he's controversial is because he loves to throw that holding flag penalty. And in fact, you may remember a game in 2011 when the St. Louis Rams offensive lineman Harvey Dahl objected to the holding call made by Boger on him. Listen to this.
First down, but let's check the flag.
Well, when there's that
hold, yeah. Offense number 62. Oh, yeah. Y'all penalty.
That's not fucking holding.
Harvey Dahl. And another penalty flag.
Well, Harvey Dahl expressed his displeasure to Jerome Boger and drew another penalty.
I think there's a very good chance you're going to hear Kyle Long say something like that. That's not a blankety-blank holding call. Very clever move by Mike Zimmer. You see, the Bears ran for 183 yards in one game against the Vikings and 158 in the other, an average of 5.2 yards per carry. He's looking for any kind of edge from the officials, and he might just get it from Jerome Boger's crew. Ultimately, though, it comes down to tackling, and Zim knows that. He was asked about the challenges of having two different running backs with two different styles and having to tackle those guys.
Well, it's different tackling. You know, in space, the little guys are hard to get to, you know, because they have the advantage because they're quicker than most guys and typically faster. And the big guys, you know, they're going to try and run you over. It's not a, you know, it's a different type of tackling, you know, and if you get in space with those guys, they don't have, not too specifically, I'm just talking in general, you know, they don't have the wiggle that the little guys do. So space is a little guy's friend typically.
When asked about the Chicago Bears defense, this is what Zim had to say.
I think they're very varied in their scheme, so they have a lot of different things they do in the secondary. They try to take away your best player. They're They're powerful up front. You know, Hicks is a load. He's a guy that, you know, and they all can be a little bit unorthodox. The two outside linebackers are actually, you know, four outside linebackers. They go attack the tight ends. They'll jump under blocks. They'll jump underneath. So they're not always going to be exactly where you think they're going to be. And so that makes it difficult. But their front guys are very, very good, and they do a good job of changing things up in the back end.
This game has a lot of intriguing storylines and matchups, but ultimately everything is secondary to Mitch Trubisky. He's the headliner here. He, of course, will need more efficiency from his teammates than Mike Glennon got in his four starts. It's something offensive coordinator Dow Loggins addressed in his Thursday press conference.
Well, it's making sure, number one, that everyone around him is playing well. You know, and I can't state that enough. When you have the way you get good quarterback play is get the other 10 guys to do their jobs. And we have to eliminate those things first. And we lead the National Football League in plays behind the sticks. No quarterback can be successful that way.
But it's not only the offensive players on the field with Trubisky who need to execute. It's also the offensive coordinator himself, Dow Loggins. The good thing is that Mitch Trubisky is not shy about telling Loggins what he likes to do on the football field.
The one thing I'll say about Mitch is that's what's awesome about him. He's got this, and you guys have got to be around him a little bit. He has a quiet confidence where he has no problem telling you what he's good with. I don't see that play well. I really like this. Can we do more of that? Whatever that may be, under center, shotgun, pistol, all those type things that you can do. And he does have – his skill set is different than Mike's. Like, he is a more mobile guy. He moves well, where Mike was your prototypical drop-back passer. Mitch does do things differently, and we'll obviously try to put him in those, in some of those situations that he feels more comfortable with.
There is one other storyline to this game that I don't want to bury. I think this is important. This game will be the biggest litmus test of Ryan Pace's player personnel decisions. It's not too early to demand that these major draft picks and free agent acquisitions begin to pay dividends. Big dividends. Cody Whitehair and Bobby Massey. Deion Sims. Trubisky's roommate, Adam Shaheen. Marcus Wheaton at wide receiver. Leonard Floyd. Calling Leonard Floyd. Eddie Jackson at safety. And Amu Kamara and Cooper at the corner positions. These players, along with established veterans like Akeem Hicks and Kyle Long, should be part of the nucleus of an emerging football team. If they fail, Ryan Pace fails, even if Trubisky passes for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. Okay, that's Bears on Tap for this week. Now, we've got something really cool for you this weekend. This is the 5th show we've produced for you this week, and that's almost 6 hours of Bears talk. Now, on Saturday and Sunday, you can go to our MixLR website, type in Bears Barroom Radio Network, and we will be playing all 5 shows back to back to back to back to back. I'll post the starting times on our Twitter page at Bears Barroom and on our Facebook page. Now, while the shows won't run for 48 consecutive hours, they will be on quite frequently. So if you're out and about or at home watching some boring football and want to hear Bears talk, you can hop on MixLR.com and you will very likely join us here in the barroom. Okay, one last thing. Remember, if you drink, please don't drive, and always bear down.